and welcome to another episode of Dealer Talk. So very excited for our conversation today. I wanted to kind of start off really quick by just saying thank you so much for the feedback. It's been an amazing couple of weeks. We've had some people reach out and tell us how much they've appreciated the effort. And so that's obviously super encouraging. So I wanted to kind of give a quick shout out to a couple people here. Anna Young, thank you so much for your interest on being on with us later on this year. We're looking forward to having you on the show. And Arthur Castillo, hey, man, thank you so much for reaching out to me and Eric on LinkedIn with such a positive words of encouragement. We really, really appreciate the feedback. Also, I wanted to kind of start off with a little bit of a new initiative. So especially for the people who are new to the industry, send us your questions, right? If you're struggling with something, if you have, you know, if you're trying to find a different perspective, or if you're looking for, you know, kind of ways to improve on a certain process, reach out to me and Eric for the time being on LinkedIn. I'll make sure to include our links to that platform on the show notes, and send us your questions, and we'll definitely bring those up to the guests so that we can kind of talk about that, and hopefully we can share some insights with you guys. Eric, what's going on, man? How you doing?
You know what? Just fantastic. But I wanted to piggyback off that, because you know the thing, the perspective that's been come to or been apparent for me is that, you know, we need to keep in mind that not only do we have seasoned professionals that are listening to our show now, but we have those brand new salespeople where I've had the privilege of, they've asked questions to me. I want to make sure that we're including them in this as a resource, because our guest today, I mean, what a powerhouse. So, I mean, I'm gonna alter up my questions a little bit to make sure that we're paying attention to both parties.
Right on. So, all right. So we're kind of breaking protocol a little bit here, if you will. So obviously the show, the premise of the show is, you know, for the automotive industry, kind of sort of by the people that are in it day in and day out. But this guest was so good to pass on, to have on the show. And I also believe that it's great to have just different perspective, right? Especially from somebody that may not be in the automotive industry, like on a day-to-day basis, but definitely has a powerful message to share. And, you know, I'm just very excited to start the conversation and see where things go. So our guest for today is, she's an author. She's a leadership and business coach, has over 20 years experience, is the founder of her own company. And man, I'm just really excited to introduce Renee Johnson. Renee, how are you?
I am awesome this morning. Thank you both, Herb and Eric, for having me on.
Of course.
Great. Hey, sorry to wake you up so early. We're both on Pacific time. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning. So we really appreciate it.
Okay. So if I have a little extra energy, I'm going to blame it on the coffee, not my passions. How's that?
There you go. all right. So before we get going here, I'm sure, as I am, Eric has a lot of questions, and you know, we're just really excited to kind of dive deep into this topic with you. But could you give us a little bit on your background, just so that we can share with our listeners?
Yeah, you bet. And I wanted to, you mentioned about not doing on the day-to-day auto, and I totally agree with that. However, many years ago, I actually did coach an auto dealership in the California area. So I had a tiny bit of that, and then being a consumer as well. So the reason why I say that is my background is initially in the dental industry for many years, to where I developed a leadership business development program after being involved and watching these dentists who go to spend all this money to become doctors, get out, and then get so frustrated and lose their dreams because knowledge is walking out the door, meaning they hired somebody who had the knowledge but didn't capture it and create the systems and scale. And when that person leaves, which there's a lot of turnover, similar to a little bit of the auto industry, or they don't know how to lead and manage, and so they don't create the customer experiences they want, and they are too focused on in the business, and they're not getting the revenue because they're not able to grow their business. And all this was happening, and I'm like, this is not working. And this is way back in the 80s, and I developed different programs that eventually got recognized by the American Dental Association, and became a consultant for them, and developed online international courses in leadership, business development, team development, still having those to this day and working on different platforms. But what I found, I have been working outside only that level now, more education and speaking. In the dental, I don't do any hands-on consulting, because what I found is these processes for leadership and business building work in any kind of business to have leaders in it. And so I have coached for many years now in international, you know, executives, corporations, to smaller businesses in all kinds of industries. And so it's my passion, it's my love, because I really want to help these business owners, these professionals, learn how to turn leadership into their greatest profit center, and where it becomes the vehicle. The vehicle, notice the hint, hint on the auto, becomes the vehicle for them to live their life. We forget that. We just get too busy on the work, work, work. And I'm sure we're going to talk about that today. But if we do it right, it should become a vehicle so that we can live our life and have the joy we deserve and do other things that our life should bring us.
Yes, for sure. Totally agree with that. So just to kind of kick things off here, so you're known as the Power Zone Coach. And, you know, obviously, you know, we have a relationship on LinkedIn, and I love all the information that you're putting out there. I just wanted to kind of talk about that for a second. Like, what does that mean, right? Like, the Power Zone in itself, is that a theory? Is it, you know what I mean? Like, can you kind of talk to us a little bit about that?
Okay, excellent. Well, the Power Zone, personally for me, it's who I am and what I found. I have shared my story on different media and platforms about what I went through in my life in a life of death situation, and having to really come to grips and understanding my most significant why, and understanding my personal values and what I was going to stand for in my life, and really claiming my greater strengths to be able to create a more powerful, productive life and influence other people. And so if I would for a minute, I'm going to go through that just a second, but each one of us have the opportunity and have experience at some point in our life, and you may call it your zone, okay, where things are clicking, energy's happening, you know, you're on fire, things are easier. You guys ever felt that way before, Eric and Herb? Have you ever felt where you're like in your zone?
Yeah, so like when you say you're in the flow, right?
Yeah, you're in the flow. And maybe you know how you got there, but maybe you didn't. But often people don't know how they got there per se, and they don't know how to stay in there longer. And the difference is, you know, is that you are really connecting to your most significant why. That's your purpose. Mm-hmm. This is what you guys are doing here today. There's a part of you that's your purpose. You're expressing that through this platform here. And so each one of us have a purpose. And this is not about, you know, religion or spirituality. It's who we innately are, our greatness, right? That's significant why. And then each of us have core values. And studies show that our core values are actually our core motivating energy. They're not morals. They're our values. And they're our core motivating energy. They're what we use to filter. Like we probably have connected that way through LinkedIn because there's similar values that are resonating with us, right? When you meet somebody and you automatically connect, there's values. When you go into a customer experience and you feel heard and you feel like it fits you, there's values in place. And then the third element is our greater strengths. So understanding the difference between good and great. And often leaders have a difficult time with that, especially small business leaders that are juggling a lot of things. And, you know, really understanding the goal is to do your greats. You can do a lot of things good, but that dissipates your power. But really letting go and putting your trust and energy into your team so that you can do your great and influence and inspire change. So the power zone, and this is something that I've done, you know, for myself, research for many years, and something I created through thousands of leaders I've coached and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of team members. And it's a truth, right? It's where your personal values, your most significant why, and your greater strengths intersect. And understanding how to tap into those. You won't do it 100%. I'm not foolish that way, even myself, the Power Zone coach. So it's not a gimmick. Again, this is what I believe in and what I teach. But it's something that you can learn how to do more often and then get those results like you all have felt of being on fire and transforming change and making more money, right?
Right, right. Hey, Renee, my question is this. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure, it's a two-part question, okay. But my first question is this. Do you believe everybody has leadership qualities?
So I believe that you can have leadership qualities. I do believe that there are those that will be able to lead at a larger level and then those that are emerging leaders. Because leadership is a decision.
Wow.
It's not a title. Okay. It's a decision. So you can be a leader in your life. You can influence those in your community. You can, your family. So absolutely. But then there are those that are more naturally suited to step into larger charges, right? A role, but everybody can be an emerging leader.
I love that. Okay. So the second part of that is, and I'm trying to, I want to make sure in order that we're adding value to this platform, to our listeners, is a brand new person coming into the automotive industry, would you recommend that they become comfortable in their own skin when walking into a new environment? What is your suggestion on that?
I like that question. That's good. Well, I would really get focused on the why of what you're trying to achieve there. So in sales, I often, so we're talking about the environment, they're coming in, and obviously the end goal is that they're trying to help move that product, right? They're trying to help the industry, their business make a, you know, income. And so what I find is, we know that it's built by quotas and different things. Again, I have a little experience there, but they get so focused on driving for the sell. That is the wrong focus. So what I would encourage you is if you're new coming to the industry, and even if you're already a seasoned professional, is that you get really clear on the why. Ask questions of your leadership team, and we'll come back to that because I imagine some of that is not always clear, but get really clear on the why. What is the goal you're driving for? Because you're ultimately, when you're interacting with the customer, you should be driving for an outcome of a relationship, not a sell. And that's going to give you longevity in referrals and raving reviews and repeat business if you drive for the outcome. And too often, you know, they get really nervous. They get too excited. They get too eager. Man, I've had them approach me. I'm like, can I have somebody else? You know, they drive you nuts. Yeah. and that causes you as a consumer to feel too many red flags. So really focus on getting clear on your why and planting seeds, not getting so eager that every single one you're going to close that day, that moment, and taking some time in learning, even some extra education on learning your best listening skills. I know you learn your pitches. I know you learn your scripts when you're new because you need a platform, you need a format to start engagement process, but practice learning being present. That's a key that newbies in this industry don't understand unless they've had some other experience in a sales field, right? But learning being present, because what that does to me as a consumer demonstrates understanding, demonstrates empathy. And I'm going to want to lean in more just for that, because that's a value, right? You can feel that. That's playing in your power zone. When you are playing from empathy, listening, understanding, and again, you're pushing for the outcome they need, not the car of the month, not the sales quota, okay? Not that, but, you know, pushing for what they need versus the sell. Not only will you enjoy your day in sales and building relationships, and have them go out and tell their 10 friends. What a cheap way to build your business, right? But you're going to get a better outcome with that consumer. Would you guys agree? Because you're the seasoned expert, but do you think that that's valuable?
Listen, I'm just blown away by that answer because it's absolutely the correct approach. I'm floored. So yeah. Yeah.
You know, I agree. I think that, you know, especially in the automotive industry, and I hate to say this because, you know, but it's just the truth. We're kind of, you know, it's all about the next sale, right? Go get another one and go get another one and go get another one. And it's very hard with that mentality or perception to really focus on some of the things that you were talking about, like, you know, which ultimately builds a relationship with the consumer, right? Which we all know it's a good thing, especially in sales, because that's going to drive additional business. It's going to keep those customers coming back. So it's just a win-win for the overall operation. So yeah, I really like that you know, that perspective, and kind of, you know, bringing it together here or expanding on it a little bit. What advice would you have for leaders within the automotive industry, right? And this is, you know, people that are managing teams, because obviously this industry is there's high turnover. And you know, sometimes it's just, you may have the right person, but they just don't have the right mindset, or they don't have the right skill set yet. But, you know, is there any advice that you could kind of talk on, you know, managing people and you know, something that could be a takeaway for those in the automotive industry that are overseeing teams?
Sure. So your job as a leader is not to get sales. Okay, you might slap me now, but your job as a leader is not to get sales. Your job as a leader is to inspire the changes and growth in others so they can get those sales.
Wow.
And so it's a shift in mindset, because too many leaders push, pull, demand, right? And yeah, that's an energy and it will get a certain outcome, but for so long. Instead, you know, your industry could benefit from improved leadership. They may feel at first it stalls the process and they have that pressure to the numbers, but it doesn't. I was telling this, Herb and I were talking before we started a little bit, and I was telling you that it doesn't, in the sense that you're already spending energy, time, and effort. So I'm not asking you to do more of that. I'm asking you to shift how you do it. And when you focus more on leading, guiding, and inspiring others, then it's a more sustainable approach, particularly in your industry that has a lot of turnover. So just like you're asking, you know, be the example you want your team members, just like you're asking your team members, if you practice power zone leadership, to really focus on the why of that customer experience. When you do that, all the other things that you want from it are going to naturally happen. So again, shifting the focus. So you as a leader, when you start to embrace your power that you have to lead by example and really get very clear on your leadership why, what is your voice in leadership going to be? What are those core values you're going to instill in your team? And you're going to make sure that you represent every day so that they ripple down into the culture. You know,
what about, like, how do you break patterns? And this is a question. This is, you know, it's kind of interesting because I was having this conversation yesterday with Joseph, by the way, that you introduced me to. So thank you so much.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're connected.
So we were having this conversation. He said something that kind of stuck with me, and it was, you know, performance should be the ultimate goal within the industry, right? Overall performance and optimization. And he's really big on that. And I think that he's onto something there for sure. But one of the things that he talked about, and we were talking about this concept, right, of managing. And he said, listen, one of the issues is that the people that become managers were kind of pushed by their manager. So when they become managers, now they're pushing.
Yeah.
So because that's all they know, right? So what can you say on breaking those patterns, right? Like, okay, you're a salesperson in the automotive industry. You get push. Obviously, you know, it's the number. You got to hit the number, And there, you know, I agree with that because there's progress. It's just the approach, I don't think necessarily is the best sometimes. So once you transition to a management role, how do you break that pattern, in your opinion?
Well, that's a good point. You know, I can see what he's saying by default. You basically step into that role by default because of the examples you have ahead of you, right? And so performance absolutely is a key, and knowing that your leadership is working, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what I encourage, and it works, is that if you get, first of all, you have to have a target that you're aiming for. So, you know, having a very clear vision that incorporates, you know, the customer experience, your financial goals, how the team's going to perform, the legacy of your company, all of that. And then actually teaching there, you know, be able to take some different classes and understanding of how to take risks, to change your thinking and behaviors. It's not an overnight process, but assessing your team and figuring out what are their biggest weaknesses, what are their greatest strengths they want to learn. It's more of a dissective process, and then up-leveling that into education. Now that may seem, okay, that's going to take work, but if you were to figure out, okay, what is that one thing that your salespeople are struggling with? And you take the time to, and I know Joseph does some of this in his training, but you take the time to actually educate, role play, practice, and make them new habits. Because to change the management style are to create new habits and behaviors. And so you've got to understand then what is the driving force, and is it working or not? Really assessing that. What, be always open to innovative ideas so that you can actually come up with new ideas of how to do it. But getting to the core of what that performance, how does your team actually feel about their performance? And they're your barometer. And not just turn a blind eye to, well, they just have to do it because this is how we've always done it. You're missing that opportunity, because those team members are in the field. And if you ask for feedback, give feedback, you're going to find valuable gems. And then you've got to work it back into a process, a system, and develop new habits and behaviors. So even just by starting one, taking a risk on one, that will create a new approach. So, you know, if I was looking at your business, I would want to find out what I call your power leaks. What things are wasting time? What things are wasting your money and resources? What things are wasting the gifts and talents of yourself as a leader and your team members? And then back it in to training and then following through with rewards on those new habits and behaviors, because it's a matter of shifting it, right? Of adjusting it. But you got to understand what exactly is the area to develop, what is most likely going to have the biggest bang for your buck in developing that change. And you got to be willing to have to be involved in change management. And that's what I could, real quick, because I can hear you want to interject, but one last thought on that. Too often, people that are put into management roles by default without training in leadership, or put into leadership, they, you know, they're too nervous to get out of their comfort zone because they don't have the methods and processes of how to do it different. So it makes sense. Why would they do it different? They don't know how to manage the change, right?
Yes.
That makes sense?
It absolutely makes sense. Let me ask you this. As a coach to coach,
okay,
what are things that as a coach, what are things that I should be working on? What's the type of education I personally should be looking for in order to be a more effective coach for my team?
That's good. I like that. Well, there's a lot of good, say, quote, education providers out there, certification, if you want to get an actual coaching certification. If you do a coaching certification, do one through the ICF, the International Coaching Federation. That's one they actually the governing board of different programs, and you'll get the best outcome. I have that as well as my IPEC certification. So I'm going to be a little partial for that, because I believe in more of a servant leadership style, if you will. And really learning how to grow and serve others. So my education advice to you is performance is a byproduct. Sales is a byproduct. And learning how to coach for performance, coach for sales, starts with learning how to develop your leadership skills, because you're ultimately going to need to inspire change. Okay, inspire change, not demand. You're going to need to learn how to lead change. And leading change is your skills from communication, right, to understanding how to develop your KPIs and measure those effectively and course correct quickly, to develop the outside processes and systems so that you can coach those in your team. So it's, I would really highly encourage leadership. And there's different styles out there, but you know, our industry, if you watch around you, your industry, other industries are going for more authentic leadership style, especially millennials, and you guys are going to be hiring them. They don't want a drill sergeant. They want people that are going to be authentic and are going to really show them a greater vision. You know, I have programs. You can talk to me. I'll help you, Eric. There's a power in performance development, but I think if you're not understanding how to lead, the core competencies of leadership, vision, risk-taking, goal setting, you know, understanding confidence blockers, your fears, your beliefs, and your stress, handling stress management, things like that, understanding the qualities of confidence, how to be an empowered leader. If you don't have those, what I call your power zone principles as a leader, then you're going to work against yourself. I mean, you're going to get some success, you know, follow A to Z, but you're not going to get the greater success. You're not going to get the more sustainable success if you don't learn how to do leadership. You know, you're going to do more of a performance-based leadership. It only gets you so far. Because people lose motivation in that. Again, remember, we are driven by our core values. And so in your interview processes, getting off task here for a second, but that's another skill of learning of leadership is understanding how to identify the vision for your business, but also the vision for your team members in different roles and interview against that. And every single one of those visions should have the core values. You should be able to identify in that applicant, do they have a similar core value? Because now you don't have to convince them.
Yeah.
You know, now you don't have to demand. They get it. They lock and load a lot faster. Okay. And people burn out in their jobs when they're not aligned with the values. I want you to hear that. People burn out in their jobs when they're not aligned.
I love that. Do you think coaching is day to day? And hold on before you answer that question. You know, I often think about it. Last week or maybe it was a week before, we talked to a gentleman. He was talking about the Pareto rule, the 80-20 rule, breaking through the 80 to get to the 90 to 95. What are your thoughts on systems? I mean, even if you're effective with the system and it gets you to the 80%, how do you break through that 80% to get better than that? I mean, is coaching a day to day? Is that necessary? What is your stance on that?
Ooh, that's a twofold. Okay, that's my three part answer. Okay, sorry. So coaching should become a discipline in your leadership style. So let's put that in there. Okay, it becomes one of the qualities of your leadership style. So yeah, figuring it out in the day. How you're going to serve, how you're going to educate, how you're going to lift, how you're going to inspire. But it becomes, you know, and then you, when you have that vision in front of you and you have the systems to go forward, then it's easier to identify where do I need to put my energy in and clarifying those systems and improving upon those systems. But I'm going to tell you a really simple answer between getting from the 80 to the 90 to even 100. Want to hear it? It's really simple and it's kind of cheap. Celebrate success.
That's great. That's really
good. Celebrate success. I'm going to tell you, I can show it in numbers and increase in the bottom line. So you can have systems and they can be rocking, you know, and okay, cool. That work. But if you're not celebrating successes with the individuals who are performing, it goes flat. It's like, what's the point? And when I survey, like I said, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, probably now in the thousands of employees, the number one thing they'll say in their hiring, what they want besides a company to meet the expectations that they set up, like I'm going to work for you and these are the core expectations. Wow. I expect because you're telling me that's what I'm going to get. The second thing is they want to be appreciated. I just want a kind word. I just want to thank you. And do you know what happens when you celebrate success? And so when I work with cultures and companies, you know, you're going to celebrate the bigger milestones. Yes. And there's ways to do that, but I'm talking on a regular basis, and there's a variety of ways to do it that don't cost a huge dollar. But even if they do, I can prove to you, you're going to get back 100-fold, because here's what happens when you yourself as a leader and when your team members do. And I posted on LinkedIn, actually had my celebrate success yesterday, talked about the health benefit, right? But I post every Friday a tip on celebrating success, because it's so important in overcoming confidence blockers for team members who think they can't get any more, grow any more, and also create more energy and fuel behind going after the goals. It's much better teaching and coaching tool than barking at people. And here's why. When we celebrate success, it automatically raises our personal accountability. When we celebrate success, we've proven to ourselves our own expectations of what we're capable of. When we celebrate success, it's a motivating energy. What do you want to do, less or more? Okay, I can go on and on. I can give you 100 different reasons. And so if you want people to grow beyond, you know, the limitations, celebrate success. And even if they're sucking, celebrate success. Because what you'll do is say, you know, George or Susie, whoever it is, I really like this. You should find something. I like how you do this. You're really excellent. You know, that right there, that quality or that skill, do you think there's a way we could bring it over here? I think I like this. What do you think about this? You draw them into the higher expectation of themselves. Hey, I really like how this is happening. Any bigger ideas? You know, I really appreciate that. Well, you like that? I have this. Because what happens in the day-to-day grind is that employees get into the box, their heads go down, and they just grind, right? They just grind. Once in a while, they lift their head up, but they grind. And unless you ask them, unless you say, what else you got?
Exactly.
And you know what? Not what else you got. Get going, slap them in the, double sticks. Okay. But you say, what else you got? Because I believe in you. And you know what happens? People raise their hand and say, I got it. Yes, I can. And I see it every time. And so here's a quick tip. One of the leadership strategies I teach is to have a daily huddle. And there's core things that I encourage to have in there. And you know what? The number one first thing you should do every day in that daily huddle, celebrate success. Yesterday, we had this goal. This is what we got. Even if you didn't hit your goal, you're saying, hey, we're making progress. What do you think about that? You keep the spirits elevated. You keep their accountability, their self-belief in what they're capable higher. People will drive higher for themselves than for you. People will drive higher for themselves than you.
Yeah. Okay. I know Herb's going to wrap this up, and we love him for doing that stuff. And we can go on and on and on. But the fact of the matter is that and I want this to be a benefit for not only the people that are, you know, well calloused into this industry, but for the brand new people showing up, is that if you want to figure out how to get to the next level in your career in the auto industry, if you start embracing these traits now, that was always my biggest benefit. I just always knew that I wanted the next level. So I just started acting like the next level. That's exactly how it was, just a natural fruition. So I hope that you take all this information in and become, you know, like the cheerleader. You becoming the encourager. You become the one that's easy to talk to. You become the one that, you know what, that takes the customer's trades around back for the guy that's selling, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 cars. He said, you become the resource. You don't ask for thanks. You just become the example. I think that's so powerful, Renee, what you shared right there. I just absolutely love it. I'm sorry. Sorry, Herb. I'm taking up your time, bro. Go ahead.
That's a good point, bro.
No worries, man. It's definitely a good conversation for sure. I love the perspective, and that's the benefit of having you on the show, Renee. It's been a really good conversation. I think there's going to be a lot of takeaways here. I do want to give you a couple of plugs here really quick, because I want people to get some more insights from you. So if you're not following Renee Johnson on LinkedIn, you have to do that. Today, I'm going to include a link to her profile in the show notes. Make sure to follow her for tons of valuable information. you also have a book, Renee, correct? Can we link that on the show somehow so that people can check that out?
Yep, I'll give you a link. It's Leaving Your Comfort Zone, How to Lead Your Life from the Power Zone, and it helps you become a leader in your life and business. Yeah, I definitely can give you a link for that.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, so we'll put that in the notes too. Make sure to check that out for some more insights. So I have a question that I ask everybody that comes on the show, but before we get to that, I definitely want to give you a little bit of time to talk about this assessment. I checked it out the other day. I'm super excited to do it myself, and I just want you to kind of tell the listeners about that so that they can check it out.
Okay, excellent. Well, my goal is to provide a lot of resources to help you grow and develop into a power zone leader, and really excited. We just developed a new one and released it actually this week. And if you go to Plug Your Power Leaks, so with an S, plugyourpowerleaks.com, you'll get access to a free, no cost assessment that is going to actually walk you through it. It doesn't take very long, like 20 questions, but what it's going to do is going to help you discover the most significant influence you have as a leader to achieve your vision and improve your bottom line. Because what typically I find, like I've talked about today, that holds leaders back from all the success they can have are what I call power leaks, things that waste your time, your money, your lack of your team's talents, your strengths. And so what this is going to allow you to do is actually identify how well you're performing, give you valuable insight, and which power leaks are draining your ability to transform your leadership into that vehicle. I love that. Into the vehicle necessary to reach your vision, increase your profits and bottom line. But what I want to tell you is you're actually going to get, I know I use the word vehicle for you guys. you're actually going to get a percentage of how well you're performing and how much you're leaving on the table. And that's so key, because just real quick here is, if you think about it, and I do include that in one of my trainings in this process, is water boils at 111 degrees, right? One more degree, 212. You've heard that theory. It's out there. Mm. You know, there's a book on it. Actually is powerful enough to move a locomotive. So whether we find 1 point, 5 points, whatever it is, 1 degree, the difference it can make for you. And then there's an opportunity if you choose to. This is not pressure. You're going to learn from it either way. But for those who are ready to actually break through and start performing from their power zone, then there's an opportunity to jump on a call that's, again, no cost. And we can really go through that, those power leaks that are holding you back, and give you some tips. And though this is, it's set up for being a leader, but I want you to hear the question you asked earlier is, you know, how do you, you know, be a leader? Remember, it's a decision, not a title. So if you're not in a quote leadership role, you can still benefit from this. Absolutely. So don't hesitate to jump on. If you're looking to grow your career, become an emerging leader, be recognized as one of the top salespeople, jump on and take this. I do a lot of sales training. So don't hesitate. It will fit for you. So again, that's plugyourpowerleaks.com.
Guys, make sure that you're checking this out. I'm going to put it in the show notes. Go there. Take the assessment. Again, it's free. And, you know, just learn something about yourself, learn, you know, what some things that you can do to improve, right? To kind of close the gap there and, you know, and get to that next level. So before we go, I have a question that I ask everybody that comes on the show, and that's, where do you see the automotive industry headed in the next 5 years and why?
That's a great question. We bantered on this before the show. You know, while I'm not familiar with the auto technology side like you guys are, I do know the human side. And so what we're seeing, the trend out there in business is growing to the next level is to develop a purpose brand. This is the way business and society is going, a purpose brand. And your industry could benefit too, and shifting from your old stigma and growing that. So what does that mean? That means working from your values. How cool is that? That's the number one start of your leadership. But to really develop, because what is branding? That's your values. When you watch marketing TV, or when you're going in and you're dropping off your favorite dry cleaner, your certain place that you go, you're choosing that because they have the same values as you. Purpose branding is the way to go. And so in your industry, let me throw it back on you. You know, is that something that is focused very much where that people choose you because, you know, if you guys say you're integrity, or you guys say that you, you know, whatever the brand is, maybe, you know, you want to hear your client's feedback. Self-expression is important. Can you actually measure that when consumers walk in? Can they actually see the brands alive, that values alive, walking and talking? That's what consumers are wanting, and they're going to be picking their purchases. So purpose branding, look it up online. If you guys would both benefit quite well of getting behind that, and you'll get ahead of the other dealerships if you practice that in your business. You guys have any experience in that yourself?
Well, yeah. I mean, our automotive dealership has been around since 1931, so that plays right into that thought process. That's yeah. The only way we could remain, you know, necessary in our market is we have to be respectful and cognizant of what's, you know, other people and the, how much we value them. That plays right into that. Yes.
Okay. So marketing with that, though, I know that there's other dealers. I know, being a consumer, that's not always, you guys are probably different, right? That's why you probably are successful. But purpose branding, from all your marketing materials to your communications, your tools. So there's a lot that goes into that, but that's where I would encourage you guys to grow in that industry and do a little research on that.
Fair enough.
It's okay.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much. Sorry to get you up so early in the morning. I really appreciate the conversation. I think that, again, I think that the listeners are going to get a lot of value from your perspective here. I just want to remind you, for the listeners, make sure to check out Renee on LinkedIn, take the assessment, check out her book. I'm going to include her contact information in the notes. You know, so if you have any questions, I'm sure she'll love to hear from you. Make sure to reach out. I did forget to mention a shout out in the beginning of the show. So I just wanted to take this time really quick to give a shout out to Rudy El Patron, from managing partner and general manager of Brooklyn Mitsubishi. Had a great FaceTime conversation with you recently. And if you listen to this, I just want to say thank you. And I can't wait to have you on the show, man, and have a conversation with you. Renee, again, thank you so much for this. Appreciate your time. We got to do a part two of this deal, because this was really good.
Awesome. I will sign me up. Maybe later hour. No, I'm just kidding. All right.
10, 11 next time.
Thank you guys. You know what? I got to throw it back at you, because I've enjoyed getting to know both of you through LinkedIn. It's love to be able to taking this offline and getting to know you here and feeling your energy. Thank you so much. I value your relationship and look forward to growing together. So
all right, folks, that's all we have for today. And as usual, we'll talk later.